Hello, ladies and gentlemen, and welcome to episode 9. I'm your host, Dr. Mark Smith, co-creator of Pet Dial Holistic Pet Products and 20-year practicing veterinarian. And boy, have I got a gift for you today. And on the show today is a wonderful lady who lives in Nashville, Tennessee. Her name is Rachel Barbeau, and Rachel is a rock star in the world of women's journalism. Rachel can be found on the SiriusXM College Sports Nation show, and Rachel is a dedicated pet lover and a dedicated pet owner, and I have done veterinary work for Rachel for roughly 2 years, and I wanted to interview her on our show today and to give you some other insights about pet ownership and for you to meet some of the pet owners that I am lucky enough to do work for. So welcome, Rachel. Rachel, how are you doing?
I'm doing well.
I am so glad to be and honored to be able to talk to you.
Oh, well, I feel the same. You have taken care of my family members, my pets, my four-legged babies. And I have some challenging issues with my babies. And anybody that takes care of my babies and my family is like family to me.
So for our listeners out there, I'm going to give them a brief bio about you. Rachel is a sports journalist. She was born in Auburn, Alabama, and she has some radio, sports radio show on Sirius TV. She also does a radio show here in Nashville at Acme Feed and Supply that I have been an interviewed guest on, and I want to appreciate and thank you for that, Rachel. And on your bio, it says you are what we call an SCCologist. Can you tell our listeners what that means, please?
It just means that if there's a conference that I know a lot about, it's the Southeastern Conference. I started my career covering the Southeastern Conference, then I moved on to the ACC in addition to that, and then I became a national sportscaster and now cover all conferences. And so it just means that I know a little bit about some things, but particularly about SEC football.
Awesome. So, and I'm a huge fan of SEC football as well. Yeah. I think you know that. But here's something. I want to test your knowledge of SEC football, okay? So if you can answer these two questions.
Oh, geez. Okay.
You will endear me to you forever. Okay. The first question is, can you tell me how many schools in the SEC have an animal as their mascot?
That's interesting. Well,
This is a show about animals, Rachel. Okay.
Is a Commodore an animal? Is that a bird?
No.
What is a Commodore?
A Commodore is, I don't know what a Commodore is. I'm assuming you're talking about Vandy, right?
I am.
Okay. I'm not sure. So if your answer is 13 out of 14, then you might be correct.
Okay.
So 13 SEC teams, and there's 14 teams in the conference, correct? 13 have an animal as their mascot. That's a pretty
Look
good
at
trivia.
That. Look, yeah. I mean, that's knowledge.
That is knowledge. Absolutely. Now, one other question is, how many of the teams have a mascot that is a dog?
Ooh. Well, the Georgia Bulldogs.
Georgia Bulldogs.
The South Carolina Gamecocks, Vanderbilt, Florida Gators, Mississippi State is the Bulldogs.
That's two.
And then you've got Texas A&M, Aggies. An Aggie's a dog.
Well, that's a good one. I didn't know that before I started doing this research. So their mascot is named Revelle, which is a collie.
It's a Lassie dog.
Collie, yes, ma'am. You're exactly right.
And the Tennessee Volunteers.
The Tennessee Volunteers, Smokey, yes. Blue tick coon had four dogs. I thought that was pretty fascinating when I was doing the research on you. So I'm sure a lot of people wonder why I had you on here, since you're an SEC sportscaster, but you're also an animal lover. And I've been privileged enough to be your veterinarian for, I guess, 2 or 3 years now. And I want to tell you how much I appreciate that. And that means a lot to me, anybody that uses me as their veterinarian. But I wanted to ask you some questions over the next 10 minutes or so to get your insider view about your pets and what they mean to you.
Yes.
And just to discuss it for 10 or 15 minutes. So can you tell me a little bit about your pets that you currently have?
Yeah, I have a rescue lab. His name is Decker. And when I got him, he was introduced to my older lab I had at the time. Her name is Della. And I was told that he was great with other animals. And soon found out, he's somewhere between 9 and 10. And soon found out a couple of months later that he indeed was not great with other animals for whatever reason, anxiety, stress, being special needs, which I firmly believe he is now. But he is a wonderful dog. And let me tell you something. I am a proponent of adoption and am on the way as an individual to adopting a child or children. And I really think as a woman of faith that that Decker, who is now my best friend, I do believe that the trials and tribulations that I went through him and that you helped me with, and I know we'll talk about Dr. Smith, were for a purpose, and that God was teaching me a lesson, and that, hey, listen, it, you know, a lot of people said it might be easy just to give up on this dog. It might be, you know, smarter just to get rid of him. But God was saying, you know what, if you can't keep a rescue dog, then how in the world are you going to do adoption?
Right.
And so we have had, I've learned the most from this dog that I have in half my life. And I've learned about love and acceptance and never giving up on a creature and the adoration and love that they have for you and just their complete love. And I think the one thing to sum your question up, I think the one thing that we could teach people is that they're not disposable. No matter what happens, they're not disposable.
Right, right. And you say that with a lot of conviction and compassion.
Yeah.
I can tell that in your voice. And Decker, how old did you tell me he was again?
He's somewhere between 9 and 10,
okay.
Dr. Smith. Not quite sure. They weren't sure, but you've said that by looking at his teeth. And
yeah,
that's kind of the idea that we have on his age.
And he's a chocolate lab, just so everybody out there knows.
Yeah,
and how else would you describe him? I mean, you know, what's his personality like? And does he have any idiosyncrasies that irritate you or anything like that?
Yeah, so he's a big lug. He's a big lovable lug. And if you've ever seen the movie Up, where the dog looks like doesn't have the hair around his eyes, he almost looks like he's the cartoon Up. He looks like he's wearing glasses.
Uh-huh.
That's what my guy looks like. And he's, like I said, loving and loyal and goofy and a baby in a lot of ways. Even though he's 9 or 10, he reminds you of a puppy. But something along the way happened to him, Dr. Smith, and you and I have discussed this many times, but something happened to him. Either he was hit or he was beaten or he just developed some sort of anxiety. But he he's very skittish. And when I had my older lab, who just passed away at 17, he would be fine with her. But then about once every 3 months, he would just lash out and attack her.
Right,
and then as soon as he did it, what was crazy to me was as soon as he did it, he would hide and hunker because he knew he had done wrong. Like, it was almost as if a person has a seizure and they do something and they're acting out of their mind, and then they come back to themselves, and then he was very ashamed of himself. So that's how I knew that he wasn't a bad dog. He wasn't a, you know, an angry dog or a malicious dog. He just had some issues, and I just think he's a little few slices short of a loaf.
Right, right. Well, we see, I mean, that's pretty common. We see a lot of dogs, and I really can't put my finger on it, but sometimes, you know, when they have a questionable history, they maybe do things that we tend to think are out of character, and lots of times there's some other event that happened maybe years ago that has you know, made them react in certain situations to certain things. So,
trainer, before I met you, say to me, Rachel, most times, and you've said this to me, Dr. Smith, most times a dog will give you a clue that he's about to be aggressive, and I you know, cutting of the eyes, a growl, a something, you know, the hair standing on the back of his neck. And they said, the dog trainer said, Decker doesn't give any indication. He just snapped. And he said, I think that somewhere along in his history, when he growled or when he gave those signs, he was either hit or he was told that was bad behavior. So, and instead of giving a warning sign, he just kind of pounced, and he believes that warning sign was, if you will, beaten out of him.
Right, yeah. And unfortunately, that happens to a lot of pets and a lot of animals in general. And maybe we need to think about, you know, instead of abusing them or taking that physical aggressive way of handling them, maybe we should try to think maybe smarter than the dogs, right?
Yeah.
Maybe that would be a good thing to do. We're supposed to be smarter. I don't know if we are, but we're supposed to be. So,
you know, you're right about being smarter, but man, do they have it figured out? You're a vet. You see them all day, every day, but animals got it figured out. They've got the perfect little soul.
Right. Are you involved with any animal organizations?
I am not, but I give my money. If being involved is giving money, I give my money to a rural animal shelter that needs it badly. And I was taken, it's Chilton County in Alabama, and I used to live near there, and I was taken with what the rescuer was doing and how badly they needed food
just basic stuff.
Yeah, basic. And again, they need it badly. Yeah. And so that's where I get my money.
Yeah. Well, that's I'm sure they appreciate it, you know. Well, now we'll go on and talk a little bit about me. I'm not supposed to talk about myself on this show, but I guess I am. I don't really know why, but I am. But so how did you find out about me as a veterinarian?
Yeah, so I found out about you as a veterinarian because my mom, whom she adores you through my reports of you, she was looking for a holistic vet. Because we do not believe, as a person and as somebody who's seeking treatment for my dogs, I do not take medication unless it's absolutely necessary. I don't take antibiotics unless it's necessary. I'm homeopathic. I'm holistic. I do everything I can to lead a normal life because I think God created the human body and the animal body to heal itself. And so I wanted a vet that wasn't going to weigh down my animals with a lot of medication. So we found you for my older dog at the time, whom I think if somebody takes another big point from this podcast, it's with your help, we gave my older dog, who passed away this summer, we gave her 2.5 years of extra life, and she lived till she was 17 years old, and she was a smaller chocolate lab, and because of you and because of you did adjustments on her, chiropractic adjustments, and you did, we did steroid shots towards the end. We had her, you had me change her food,
right.
Things that we did different supplements for her. And because of you, just a month before she passed away, she was climbing the stairs, a humongous set of stairs at 17. And so you gave me 2 good years with my baby, and I'm so grateful for that.
Well, I appreciate that, and I just tried to do the best I could, and I think we accomplished that, and she lived to be a ripe old age, pain-free, and I don't think you can ask for a lot about that. But I do want to echo what you said, and I think sometimes as veterinarians, at least earlier in my career, I used to try to step in too much and give stuff and give shots. And sometimes I think if we can sit back and respect the fact that these animals' bodies are incredible and get out of the way, then sometimes they do better than with our intervention. So that's a neat point you brought up. But I want to see if you remember this story, okay?
Yeah.
And so the first time you met me, you came in there, and you came into my clinic on Highway 100, and you were unsure, and we met, and I was like, I can't remember if it was with Decker or Della or not, but I came in and I said, Rachel, I said, if you want to know the best thing you can do to help your dog's health right now, you need to do blank. Can you tell me what it is?
What may have been to do with their food.
Okay, now hold on. So, I want you to step back now, and I want you to dig deep in that memory. And I played a joke on you, a sweet little cute joke. And I said, Rachel, if you want to do one thing to help your dog's health right now, what would it be? If you can't remember, just say it, because I remember it, and it's one of my jokes I have up my sleeve. I do this to a lot of people.
You're going to have to share the joke with me, but I'll tell you in a moment what else you told me to do, and it's something that I found to be incredible, but share the joke
okay.
with me.
Okay, here's what it had to do with a piece of apparel. On your dog.
Was it putting socks on my dog's?
No, ma'am. It had to do with the collar. I'm giving you hints right now.
Oh, you wanted me to change their Auburn collar.
That's right. That's right. I played a joke on you. That's one of my jokes. I play that on a lot of people, okay? Just so you know. So anyway, I thought that was funny because I told you, I said, Rachel, the first thing you need to do if you want to help your pet is get that collar off your dog.
And the second thing you said, which I had no idea, and we talked about it on the Acme Radio show, was about their food. We are feeding, by and large, as a population, our dogs crap. We're feeding them fillers.
Right.
We're feeding them grains. We're feeding them just like we are. The human body doesn't need it. The dog's body doesn't need it. And so you had me starting to make my food for my dogs, and I thought that was fantastic. I saw great results in that. But I never had a veterinarian, and I'd had that one of my dogs for 15 years and the other for 3. Never in my life before I came to you had I had a veterinarian address their food with me.
Wow. Well, I try to do that each and every time because I think it's so important, you know, and I don't try to push people to use our food because I know our food is not for everybody or every pet. But I do try to put some effort and take some time to educate people so they know, you know, and so they know what they can do to help their pet, especially in certain situations. So you said earlier that you're all into holistic health but what do you think about some veterinarian that does that? I mean, doesn't that kind of make you chuckle, or what do you think about it?
No, I think it's phenomenal. You know why? Before I came to you, my older dog at the time was about 14 and a half, 15, and she had started to have a bout of incontinence where she was peeing on herself. And so I went to the vet that I was at in Atlanta, and they gave her a medication called Prion, P-R-I-O-N, I believe.
Proin. Yes, Proin.
And so they gave it to her, and they said 6 weeks later we need to do a liver panel on her. And she was also her legs were starting to splay out where she couldn't get up. They were going left and right. She was having a hard time getting up, and I'm thinking, this is the end. Well, around the same time, my human chiropractor, I posted on Facebook, the wonders of Facebook, and he said, bring her to me. I work on animals too. And I said, what? And he said, yes, I do. And so I brought him to her, and he adjusted her every 2 weeks. You would not believe it. When I went back for that blood panel for the prion, he said.
Proin.
6 weeks. Proin.
Proin.
6 weeks later, I went back for that blood panel, and they said her liver values have dropped. All of her blood work looks better. What is going on? And I said, doctor, the only thing I can tell you that she's gotten is chiropractically adjusted every 2 weeks since I've seen you. And he said, her liver value should have gone up. She should have reflected taking this medication. And he said, instead, she looks healthier than before we ever put her on it. And I said, that is the power of natural medicine. So when I found you, I knew it worked.
Right, right. Well, it's amazing because you know, when I first came out of veterinary school in 1998, we didn't learn any of this stuff. And so people actually thought you were a cuckoo if you started talking about doing these things. And then, you know, my story, as I've gone on, it's changed because I've become a whole lot better practitioner, a better diagnostician, and just a better veterinarian and a better, I guess, advice giver. because I know all these different treatments and all these different modalities to try to get people from point A to point B. So alternative veterinary medicine has inspired me to open up my eyes to new and different ways. So Rachel, the last question, and then I'll let you go. And I just want to tell you how much I appreciate you using me as your veterinarian. I mean, that's a big deal, you know.
Yeah. And I never tell everybody about you. Tell everybody that I know about you. I'm one of those individuals that if you got me, I'm a lifer. You know, I'm a loyal person. So whether it be a friend, and you've been a friend as well, or a vet, or anybody that's in my life in any capacity, I spread the word. And I think word of mouth is a beautiful thing, especially with your animals. People want to, you know, they're your babies for most people. So I tell everybody I can about you.
Right. Well, I appreciate that. And it's a big responsibility that I don't take lightly in taking care of people's animals the best I can. But here's the one last question I want to ask you. If you had to give one piece of advice to a dog owner who is maybe in distress, maybe over putting a dog to sleep or, you know, having to make a big decision regarding their pet, is there any one thing that you think or one piece of advice that you would give them?
That's a great question. I think it would be one piece of advice, but a couple of pieces within that advice. First, what I've learned over the years is that animals pick up on your energy. So if you're stressed, if you're sad, if you're mad, if you're anxious, they pick up on it. If I'm sad, they get it. They're licking my tears. They're pacing. They're wanting to know what's going on. They're sitting close. So as much as you can try to control your energy, if you're going to cry your eyeballs out, if it's their end of their time or their being, then maybe do it in the car, you know, but they pick up on that. The second is, I would just say seek second opinions, like someone like yours. You know, I would not, if it's a big decision, I wouldn't go with the first, opinion I got. I would seek, you know, other opinions. And then, you know, third of all, I would say, just keep sometimes we want to do what's best for us in our heart, but you got to put the animal first. And what's best for the animal? Is the animal going to be in pain? Is the animal, going to suffer? Those types of things. And then if you can save them, if it's something like an ACL tear or someone, a surgery that they can have, if there's any way to do it and your vet will work with you, I encourage you to do it.
Right. Put the animal first. I like that. And I like a lot of things you say. Great job. And thank you for being on my show. Rachel, I almost feel like you're a superstar and I'm this little fledgling. You've been on big time TV and I'm this little guy sitting behind the mic in my living room, you know. All right, Rachel, you're incredible. Seriously, this has been my first interview with somebody over Skype ever, so you made it easy.
Wonderful. Well, let's do a follow-up sometime. You did a great job.
We will. Thank you. Have a good day.
All right. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.